This is Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
All of us in the Broadway community.
All of us in the Broadway community.
All of us in the Broadway community
are deeply saddened.
Deeply, deeply saddened by the senseless tragedy
that occurred in Orlando
in the early morning hours of June 12th.
We send our love and support.
Love and support.
We send our love and support.
Love and support.
And thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
To everyone impacted by this act of violence and hate.
Everyone.
Senseless violence and hate.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
There are oceans and rivers
enough to cross,
enough to last,
enough to last till the end of time.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
No, not just for some.
Okay, it is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016. On the show today, we have a couple of shows, Dogfight and another one yet to be named later. You'll hear about it. Checking in with you, Nicole.
I am here.
Okay, I'm starting sort of on a somber note, and I sort of want to, I don't want to apologize, and I know that you talked about this a little bit last week, but I sort of want to bring it up again because of this.
It's yes, that was
Broadway for Orlando
week.
Came out with this recording, and there is a video, a link on our site, offstageonair.com. You can play that video right from our website, or you can go to playbill.com or broadwayhd.com, I think, is where it is. But it has got all these Broadway stars. It's very similar to
We Are the World.
We Are the World. But
I have to say, our local news all picked it up too, which yeah. I was kind of excited about.
Everybody, I mean, it's been picked up everywhere. But I want, you know, there's a lot we could say about what went on in Orlando, and that's all been said. But what I sort of wanted to talk about here is a little bit more positive spin. And when things like this happen, and it's not just this, it's Farm Aid and lots of things, when the artistic community really has such a big heart and comes out and just makes a call to action to everybody to really do something. So one of the things about this Broadway for Orlando, it's available on... Oh, wait, hold on. I think I have it in my notes. No, I didn't. But it's available on iTunes, and it's also available on, I think it's Broadway...
HD.
Is it Broadway HD? So. BroadwayHD.com. For a small fee, you can buy it. 100% of the proceeds go to help folks. And I heard James Marino on the theater, the Broadway Theater Daily podcast did something good, and I'm going to do exactly what he did because I thought it was really great.
Okay.
If you want this CD, if you want this song and you cannot afford it yourself, send an email to lisa@offstageonair.com and I will buy it for you. Okay? So if you want it, you can't afford it, lisa@offstageonair.com. I will purchase it for you. And I do recommend that people reach out. Let's show Orlando that the artistic community in Texas stands with Orlando and all the people that were involved with Pulse. And actually, it's hit everybody in Orlando. It's amazing. And everybody around the country.
Did you see that article I sent you about what the One Theater community did to give them the costumes with the angel wings for all the burials? They apparently, in one of the shows they did, they created these really cool... angel wings on these costumes that had large poles and big wings. And the theater community donated them to all the families at funerals so those crazy Westboro people could not picket and the families didn't have to see them.
That's basically, that's taken straight from the Laramie Project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what they said. And they were like, let's make it for real. And they went out and donated all this. And I was like, that's another awesome thing the theater world does. Yep. Mm.
All right. So let's liven it up a little bit. That was actually the first time I've done a different opening for the show in a long time. It was actually kind of weird.
It felt weird.
It felt weird doing something different.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought that was lovely.
It was lovely. I'm not saying it wasn't bad. I just said it felt weird.
Just a little odd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't say it felt bad.
You know
weird.
What,
it's
Lisa?
Different from bad.
You are living on the edge today.
I am living on the edge. First of all, I need to reach out and hug you across the microphones and tell you how much I appreciate you running the show for the past 2 weeks and... Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, how proud I am, and I checked with Tracy Schultz, so also a double thank you to Tracy Schultz, guest engineer, who didn't actually have to engineer, did he?
No, I did everything.
You
I
did
was
everything.
On the board, I was talking, I interviewed people.
And I checked up with him, and I said, is it true that he didn't touch anything? And that's true. And let me tell you, it is not easy to... conduct this show and do all this. And if you were watching the video, you'd see what I'm doing.
There was a lot of guests the past 2 weeks,
there was.
Too. So,
you did good.
No, I was kind of... I have to toot my own little horn. I was a little surprised by myself.
You done good. So. I'd also like to thank Rush Evans. And he was sitting in for Kim Simpson in the International Folk Bazaar. And he was playing... When I walked in, I said, that doesn't sound international. And he said, it's British.
He did. That was funny.
So that is international. So I know y'all talked about it last week, but I'm gone. Oh, go ahead.
Can I thank Nick really quickly for
coming
in? Oh,
yeah. Oh, shoot. I should have done that too. Yeah.
Nick Mayo, thank you for coming in and co-hosting with me while Lisa was out of town.
Yeah, Nick, you did a great job. And I just want to let you know that I went to a hamburger stand earlier and I got you on a hamburger.
You did? You got some mayo?
Actually, I really didn't. I don't like mayo.
He was very excited you were at the Fiddler. I sent him your text.
Well, we're going to talk about
excited.
That. Stand by on that one. So you talked about it, but we're gonna hit. And I know you did say we're going to save some of the stuff to Tonys till I'm here. So I appreciate that.
I did not. Yes.
So what did we think of the Tonys, gang, generally?
I thought they were done really well.
Did you? You like them?
I liked the opening. It was respectful and introspective. And mm-hmm. Then they got on with the show, and
I like it at Radio City better. I'm not gonna.
Well,
lie.
They didn't want to not be at Radio. They didn't want to.
It's more exciting.
Well, they wanted to be at Radio City. It wasn't available.
Right.
Yeah. So they've done it at the Beacon several times.
Yeah.
That didn't bother me. I said it last week. I thought it was awesome. It was great. I had nothing bad to say, but there was never a Shazam moment for me.
Exactly.
It was all,
that's what it was.
There wasn't a Shazam moment.
But nothing was bad.
And like, I do want to take exception to Nick Mayo. I mean, I love what he did, and I almost agreed with like at least 30% of what he said.
That's good for you.
On what?
But, well, he alluded to NPH doing star turns and really being very sort of egocentric in his approach to hosting the Tonys, and I do not agree.
Oh, I actually agree on that. Too.
I do not agree. He was entertaining, but I don't think it was about
him. And that
him.
Opening number, God,
yeah,
that last
no,
opening
I am.
Number, like you can't.
I like that James was just James. I got where
it's
he was
different.
Going with
it's
that.
Different.
It's totally different.
But it's not. I'm not going to say one is better than the other.
No?
It's a different approach.
Totally
but,
different.
But there was some judgment. Nick Mayo, I'm not pointing fingers, but somebody
Nick
with
Mayo.
The initials
he's
of
in
Nick
his,
Mayo.
He's in his room going, Lisa.
Said my, and he didn't say NPH by name, but I'm sorry. I don't think it was log rolling.
He could have been talking about Hugh Jackman. You don't know.
He could have been talking about Hugh Jackman, but I doubt
so.
It.
I'm just saying.
I think he's aimed at teens or something.
Oh, shoot. You know what I didn't do? I'm sorry to do this. I didn't. We've got all these disembodied voices. I should say who we're actually speaking to. David Blackburn.
Hello.
Welcome back to
they're
the show.
They're people, Lisa. We have people in here.
Yeah, they're like Soylent Green. there's a callback. Joshua Denning.
Yo.
Welcome. Alicia Cornwell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hello. I'm Alicia. Alicia.
That was a lot of heart behind that. I think I'm really good. Evan Davies or Davis?
Davies.
And Becky Musser.
Hello.
Great. Hello. All right. So... the Tonys, I was no big surprises, but of course we did, and you did talk about this. It was, you know, all the major characters, actors that won were people of color, which rock on for
awesome.
Us.
Uh-huh.
And I do want to say that you said that that nobody ever mentioned the difference between Tonys and Oscars, but there was an article that we talked about on this show about months and months ago about how when the Oscars came out.
So one article?
But we've talked about it. I'm just saying we
I know
here
we
at Offstage
do,
in the
but
Air
the
do.
World should be taking notice. That, I think, was my point
you.
Of
I'm with
hello,
you.
People.
But
very
I'll tell
inclusive.
You, I love me some Hamilton. And shout out to Brian Jensen, who is a former Austinite, lives in New York. I was just visiting him. Who had tickets. He's
yeah.
seen it.
He went to American Psycho, too, and you had to take a picture
yes.
of that and rub it in.
I was
like, thank you, Lisa Sheps.
I did. And he loved it, by the way. He thought it was really
well,
great.
Well, because Brian and I have the same kind of taste.
So what do y'all think about the choices that Hamilton did for their number? Or the choice that they did for their main
I thought
number.
It was smart because we've seen the other one so much.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought yeah. it was wise. Yeah.
I didn't think it was a very good... I don't think it was a good showcase.
But I don't think they needed to. I think they've been shown.
They
you know, I think I think they realized that and they wanted to show something new.
I thought all, as I said last week, I thought all the choices were totally different. I was like, I didn't expect that
yeah.
to be the.
True.
I didn't Ooh. Expect
but
that
I didn't
to be
necessarily
the
believe that they were the right choices.
I some of them
I don't
to
think
me
anyone's
were.
Done a number like that in street clothes, and I think they were saying, "Hey, we're the new thing. We're
yeah.
new. We're Hamilton.
They
we're
need to
new,
contact me
way.
Next time and get my approval before.
Agreed.
They
well, I'm also hoping if they do enough, you know, TV spots and everything, we'll just get to see the whole show. And
that's what they said. That's actually what he said.
Like the PBS thing coming up. I'm sure we will.
So here's an interesting thing. So did anybody not see the Tonys?
Hi, me.
Okay, so hi.
He admitted
so
it.
So they had a closing number that happened right after the Best Musical was announced. Mm. That closing number was Hamilton.
Right.
Now, we know that they were going to win. We've known for a long time that they were going to win. But what if
Barbara
they didn't?
Barbara didn't have to open the envelope.
She didn't open the
and
envelope.
And that's what we said. What if it wasn't really Hamilton?
And she wore the costume. So can you, can you imagine
Barbara.
The Best New Musical is... Snickerdy D and then she's wearing the Hamilton costume
and
reading
it's totally
it,
opposite
and the curtain opens up for the finale and it's Hamilton
yeah,
yeah
well she didn't read the envelope. I mean Nick made that comment, what if they hadn't really won?
I just like,
you know?
I'm a little
there's no way. I mean there's just no way
but there was no way but still
I found
still.
It disrespectful to the other shows.
I
you
did as well.
All know Hamilton's winning, we knew that. But I found it completely disrespectful that she didn't even
yeah,
take the time
open
to open
right.
the envelope.
Were poised right there
like,
behind the
that to me was
to
a big, yeah. nasty yeah. something.
Yep. Yeah. So next time, Tonys, you please talk to Nicole and I before you plan these things. We'll
Barbara should just call us. I mean, come on, Babs.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of Hamilton, big exodus. Philippa Sue,
right.
what's his name? Lin-Manuel Miranda.
What's his
and
name?
Leslie Odom Jr., all three leaving the first week of July.
Yeah.
Philippa Sue's going to go to do Amelie, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Which I have, she's the only named cast member so far.
Amelie?
Right. Yes.
You were supposed to continue talking.
Oh,
we were.
You were know what?
I walked away to get my papers.
We were all watching you, as the radio listeners can see. We were all watching you cross the room.
So I did not realize that there was that Amelie was
a movie.
I didn't realize that. Lovely movie, by the way.
I love that movie too.
Anyway, but so she's just leaving to do that. We love our Philippa Sue, Tony Award winner. Leslie Odom Jr., I don't know what he's going to do. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, I don't know if he's going to be able to find more work.
Oh, he's doing the new Mary Poppins,
movie. And then I'm sure they'll do like
right.
the British opening,
right?
Like the West End, don't you think?
But he won't do it.
No?
Oh, he might
he
do
is
West
part,
End.
He's, I
think?
Don't think he's performing in it. I think he already said he wasn't, but
oh,
he's
really?
Going to be part of like all the casting and going over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just wrote the music for that new Disney movie too.
Moana.
Yeah.
So yeah, he may go somewhere. If he worked really hard. So I was just in New York City.
I think Leslie's touring with his jazz album.
Leslie Odom Jr. rocks.
Yeah. Now that you say that, I think that's
I call
what
him
he's
Les.
Doing.
We're like
Les,
this.
I love Les, too.
he's
not
so
bad to look at,
I was
either.
Just in New York, and we were talking about this before we went on the show. One of the shows I saw was Fun Home.
Thank goodness. You've been dying.
And oh, my God. You know, I don't like things very much. I tend to skew on not liking things. I was... through the moon over this thing. First of all, it's at Circle and Square. It's in the round. My seats were on the front row. My feet We're touching the stage. Lovely. The stage is on the ground. And quite frankly, we talked about this before. When it was off-Broadway, it was indeed... I wasn't sure whether it was Thrust or it was Proscenium. David, you said it's Proscenium. I don't know how it's going to work in Proscenium. Has anybody else seen it besides me?
I have not.
I have seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it in Proscenium, though.
Well, that's how it started. That's what it did at the Public. Or, yeah, at the Public.
I've seen clips of it in Proscenium. It was fine.
I just... Part of it was sure the intimacy fine. Of this thing. And I saw the entire original cast with the exception of Sidney Lucas.
Maybe they could do like Spring Awakening style and have, you know, audience on stage.
Maybe they could.
Just saying.
As long as it's me.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about your evening before Fun Home?
My evening before Fun Home.
How did you ring the closing bell on the stock exchange?
The company I work for rang the closing bell.
You had on the stock exchange. You had a gold card with your name for that.
I did. I had a gold card. So I was at the stock exchange. I was down on the floor, which is theater unto itself.
I know.
American Psycho.
It's pretty amazing. Brilliant. Which I've never seen, read, or heard. So I'm a complete ignorant. Okay, so I saw in order of liking. Fun Home, which was amazing. There was a puddle of tears in my seat.
Did you clean them up or leave them?
I left them for the people. but a wonderful production down the line from every aspect to direction to everything was just beautiful.
I'm so happy you got to see it because I know how much and how long you've been wanting
to see it. And they just posted their closing. September.
I cannot tell you how I was so enthralled. And then I was excited about the next show you saw. I was like, Lisa's doing everything she wants to do.
I saw Fiddler on the Roof, which I liked less than I thought I was going to.
Really?
I liked it less than I thought I was going to like it. I love the show. And again, puddle of tears underneath. I mean,
here's the question.
The whole thing with Hava just kills me.
Oh, the Hava.
And
that's the
Danny Burstein.
He's the man.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he did it. He did a good job.
How did you like?
Didn't
the opening and the close? You didn't because you were curious on how you
didn't.
Were going to like it or not.
Why not?
Didn't made no sense. For you? It made no really, sense. I mean
the puffy coat.
Yeah.
Well, the idea is he's reading his ancestors, but it really didn't. I don't think it tracked well from beginning to end, and I thought it was extraneous. But what I loved about Fiddler, and so everybody knows, so historically Fiddler runs 2 hours and 59 minutes. Yeah. It's historic for starting right at 8 o'clock. Intermission is exactly 10 minutes, and it ends at 11:59 because at 11 o'clock the union goes into double secret super overtime. So. So as we were walking out of the theater, the orchestra's still playing, curtain comes up, and the crew is out there striking the set. And like
you were like...
I said, it's like still clockwork. There. It's still Fiddler.
Nice.
So I saw that, and then I saw my least favorite of the three, but still pretty good, was An Act of God, which has anybody seen that one?
I have not.
First of all, gorgeous, gorgeous set.
It
beautiful
looks
set.
Pretty in the stills, I will say
it's
that.
It's pretty amazing. And Sean Hayes did a good job. He's got a really deep voice. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but it's interesting. For those of us who
just
politically...
Jack is just a character, you know.
It's true. Well, which I did not realize he was still closeted during Will and Grace.
Yes.
Because back at the time during Will and Grace, they said Sean Hayes is straight.
Yes.
But he's not.
No. But I was just about to go, bum, bum, bum.
Times have changed.
Interesting. So Act of God, I knew nothing about it walking in other than...
Sean Hayes is in it.
But if you are in a particular political frame of mind that is right of center versus left of center, you are going to hate this show. And you are going to be insulted. And it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it's very left wing.
That's and interesting.
If you are,
I knew it had the political undertones and everything to it, but I didn't realize it was so polar.
If you are a fundamentalist Christian and you think you're going to see something, you're not going to be happy. I'm just saying.
But the word God is in the title.
I was about to say it's probably why they drew them all in.
Okay, I have to zip because so real quick, like lots of things closing. Handle Matilda.
I know, kind of sad. Right.
Long Day's Journey is closing. Bright Star is closing.
Yeah.
King and I. She Loves Me.
Well, that was closing July 10th.
I know. A lot of them are not. These aren't surprises.
No. That was the limited run. But Matilda has been open. And it's had a good run. Come on.
Yeah. For sure. Act of God is closing in September. Les Mis already has their closing notice.
They Bright Star. I was shocked. I mean, they announced that the day after the Tonys.
Yeah. Poor Bright Star.
Gorgeous
I have to see it.
So gorgeous.
She Loves Me is live streaming.
Nice. I know.
So yes. Please join me. I purchased a ticket.
You did?
I did. I'm going to be watching it. It's on Thursday, the 30th of June. It's BroadwayHD.com. You can get information. So if anybody wants to come over and watch it, I got to figure out some way to get it on my TV.
7 p.m. because it's an 8 p.m. curtain.
It's a 7 p.m.
So it's 7 p.m.
Yep. And then there's the SpongeBob musical, which
I'm
talked
so
about
excited.
Last time.
Yes.
But it
so
opened
excited.
In Chicago and
it
got
so good.
Decent reviews.
Well, I mean, the music in it. I mean, Bowie wrote music for it. Cyndi Lauper wrote music for it. Like, it's the
it
craziest bunch
it
of people
cool.
with the music.
That's
and yeah.
Okay, here comes the quiz. Y'all ready?
Dun, 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 dun.
Okay. So I found this quiz sort of challenging.
How'd
you
do?
Be ready for the...
I have mine marked.
Okay,
how did you
the
do
quiz.
When you did
are
it?
We so we're playing the quiz?
You're playing the quiz. You can answer it. This is a quiz on the New York Theater Guide. And it's a random thing, and it gives you 5 questions. And I always take it, and then I see
what
how
do we get. What do we get?
You get my love and affection.
Indeed.
Oh, okay. Sweet. So here it is. It's multiple choice, except at least one of these you're not going to. I'm not going to give you multiple choice because it's too easy. Who wrote the music? Who wrote the musical Sunset Boulevard?
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Oh, you did?
But I did
I
it.
Saw
from,
it.
I did
I saw
it from
it Glenn Close.
Oh,
my
you
God.
Did?
Yes.
I did it from a matter of the other choice were Stephen times. Sondheim and Elton John.
I have the original the original poster signed by Betty Buckley and the whole cast and Alice Ripley. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, the character of Billy Flynn is from which musical?
Chicago.
Oh,
that's stupid. All right.
Can we talk about Chicago on the Tonys for a second?
Sure.
I mean, that moment where BB came
oh,
out.
Oh, I talked, yes, last week I went
like,
all about
we all
it. Can
about
we
it.
Just say that, first of all, Kander and Ebb are the most brilliant composers ever. And second of all, a longest running American musical in history.
But
come on now.
Oh, I guess it is the
American
one.
Musical.
American
yes,
American.
It is the yes, longest yeah, running American musical. And they are the solid. Longest composing American Broadway duo of composers.
There's a correction on that. It's the longest running on Broadway because
right.
the Fantastics ran
right.
for
yes.
some years.
I was yeah. just yeah. startled. I was startled by the white dress. I didn't know what was going to happen.
I meant Broadway,
I
David. The Tonys. We only talk about Broadway.
Oh,
we
so
don't
sorry.
Talk about off-Broadway.
All right. Let's carry on. We're not okay. going to get to talk to you about your shows.
Moving on.
What is the name of Sam Shepard's first Broadway play? Is it True
oh,
West,
God.
Operation Sidewinder, or Buried Child?
Buried
I will tell
Child.
You, I got this wrong.
I would say it was Buried Child.
That's the first one.
Yep.
I got one.
Nice.
Oh no, wrong. Operation Sidewinder.
Was it Operation Sidewinder?
That's
so
like
fun.
A
faint,
like the most famous
All right,
famous
what
one.
Year did the Broadway musical Fanny open up on Broadway?
Oh, wow.
And the choices are 52, 54, or 56.
56.
That's what I said, but we're 50, all wrong.
54?
It was 54. Whose first line, whose only line in his first play was, Tennis anyone? Was it James Cagney, John Wayne, or Humphrey Bogart?
Humphrey Bogart.
James Cagney.
James Cagney.
Okay, so we got 2 Cagneys, 1 Bogart.
I'll go Bogey.
2 Bogarts, so it's a tie. Anybody want to do a tiebreaker?
Who was the middle? I don't even remember.
Okay, it's
name.
Bogart.
This is my life.
Okay.
I knew that one, sorry.
So we're going to do the... You did?
Yeah.
I think I did too, but I didn't... So we're going to do the trivia question. So this is... Do not answer this out loud, guys, because we're going to get the answer to this at Backstage at Offstage, which you get if you are listening to the podcast. And why wouldn't you be listening to the podcast?
I don't know why.
Okay, offstageonair.com is how you listen to the podcast,
yes.
amongst other things, is iTunes. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. Nicole, what is...
Jersey Girls began as an off-Broadway revue in 1981 with Herman himself in the cast. It toured in 1984 and moved to Broadway in 1985 for 139 showings. It would have run longer, but one of the stars broke her leg in a car accident. Which one of these actresses was in both the 1984 tour and the Broadway production?
Wait, did you say Jerry's Girls or Jersey Girls?
She said Jersey's Girls, but she meant
Jerry's
Girls.
Jerry's
did
Girls.
I say Jersey
yeah.
Girls?
You said Jersey Girls.
Oh,
it's
because I am
Girls.
A Jersey Girl.
And it's
that
Jerry
was
Herman,
just,
for those of you that don't know.
Jerry's Girls.
Jerry's Girls. So, A, Cheetah Rivera. B, Dorothy Loudon. C, Carol Channing. D, Andrea McArdle. Or C, Leslie Uggams. So,
okay.
Which one actress was in both the 1984 tour and the Broadway production?
Yep. And I know people that worked on both of them in the chorus. Very dear friends.
I love that show.
Okay. So we're going to take a little break. And I was going to play Ring of Keys again from like my third time.
Why not?
But I'm not. I'm going to play the Fun Home commercial, which was just an adorable part. Here we go. The best old funeral home. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We're talking to a cacophony of people, but we're going to pare this down to just two at this point. We're going to talk to Becky Musser and Evan Davies about their current show. Yeah, Becky, go over to that other phone. So you guys had the show of the name which we could not say on the air.
Yeah. Indeed, we did.
So let's just suffice it to say this: it's a two-word show name, mm-hmm. and the second word is?
Faced.
Well, Shakespeare.
Oh, it's a three. Yeah.
So it's one hyphenated word.
It's one hyphenated word, and so it's blank-faced Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, yep.
All right, we can't say that on the air. So let's choose something else, but not something you might think that, you know, just so that we know. And I think folks can get from the iteration, blank-faced Shakespeare. And blank-faced means what?
Drunk.
So blank-faced. Yeah. So why don't we say Bunny Rabbit?
Bunny rabbit.
Yeah, this is Bunny Rabbit.
Bunny Rabbit.
No, I was just going to say Bunny Rabbit.
Bunny Rabbit.
We love Bunny Rabbit.
We do love Bunny Rabbit.
Shakespeare wrote a lot about Bunny Rabbits.
Yeah. We'll every now and then.
Exit pursued by Bunny Rabbit.
So you guys have been doing Bunny Rabbit for a year or so, right?
Close. We opened in Austin in January, so mm-hmm. we've been running here about 6 months. It's been in Boston. They just celebrated a year in April, been in the UK for about 6 years.
Now, who was first? Because there's also Drunk Shakespeare in New York.
There is. Right. Ours
Which
was
one's first?
First.
Of course.
It was, of course. The original was by our good friend, Reverend Lewis Ironside.
I love him. So tell us what is Bunny Rabbit?
So basically we have an hour-long condensed version of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
That's what we're doing right now.
That's the one we're doing right now. There are various other Shakespeare mm-hmm. plays, and hopefully we'll bring some of them in later. Yeah. But one of our actors is completely hammered or bunny rabbited.
Or bunny rabbited.
Bunny rabbited.
And so essentially the rest of the cast has to try to hold the show together and make mm-hmm. something cohesive around whatever that person decides to do.
So I have yet to see this. I've always wanted to, but I did. There was a YouTube of one. It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. How do you decide who's getting bunny rabbited for the night? Do you take turns?
Everybody takes turns. There's a different drunk every single night, and we actually schedule it out a month in advance. Some people thought that we pulled names out of a hat
because there are a lot of rules around.
There are.
We start drinking about 4 hours before showtime, so we can get kind of a nice, safe, easy party drunk, mm-hmm. rather than having 4 shots.
I would stand 4 hours.
Becky,
later.
You and I know one another.
We do.
And when I think of you, it's like you're you seem wholesome to me.
She's so mild-mannered, right? Just get her on stage during the show.
I'm in a way. Body mouth when I am drunk.
The birds and unicorns and rainbows following behind her.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much how it goes.
Usually, yeah.
They're just,
sure.
I mean, a little wonky and they're flying mm-hmm. sometimes.
Well, so have you both been drunk?
Yeah, I am actually. Actually, we call them birthdays.
Okay. Have you had a birthday?
I'm the oldest cast
You're the oldest cast
he's,
member.
He's the oldest.
Yeah, just by happenstance.
Can I be in the show?
I mean, you have to audition.
Oh, whatever. All right.
Lisa, you guys should know. You just offer Lisa roles.
I'm too important to audition. Evan, do me a favor. Give me a number between what and what? 47 and 32.
Oh, there you go.
39.
Of course.
I don't think we've had, 39 I don't believe we've had in a while. But Lisa also changed up all the numbers, so 39 could be something we have heard in a while.
What is this for?
The 39 is not the 39 anymore.
What is happening? I'm
Your
so
fate.
Confused.
You are going to hear someone talking to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Who it might be, I do not know.
We don't know what it is, but I do know it's 12 seconds long, so here we go.
Ready?
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
Leroy Reams.
This June, KOOP once again commemorates the
I know what I did. I
was like, you've been on the board
in
a while.
It's been so long.
Because I've taken over.
It's not,
Lisa, we'll discuss what happened later after
I'm
the
need
show.
Notes. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the audition process for this.
Oh, yeah.
So because I would think that you would have to be comfortable with Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have to be comfortable drinking. You'd have to be a funny drunk versus a sad drunk.
or a mean drunk. We don't want one of those.
Originally, they give you a sheet to, they sent us an email, if we signed up, they send you a sheet, and it asks you, have you ever been drunk on stage before, which is kind of a trick question. And I was just immediately, no, never done that, which is true, ironically. Then there's another one.
I would hope not, by the way.
Yeah, I was just...
Seriously. I wonder how many people really do answer yes,
yeah, I
though.
I know, yeah. But there was, I mean...
I know of at least a couple.
The producers were telling us, we were like, yeah, people that put yes immediately, we were just like, no, we're going to throw those away. So
there you
that
go.
Was part of the process. But then there was also, what was it, what kind of
what
drunk
kind of
you
drunk
are.
You are, yeah.
And then...
But who's going to tell the truth about that, too? If you're a mean or a sad drunk, you can... I guess if you're a sad drunk, you would do it. But if you're a mean drunk...
Yeah.
You could get a loosey-goosey. Some people get drunk and get a little loosey-goosey and want to get down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have plenty of those. Yeah. That's encouraged.
That is encouraged.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, when in doubt, loosey-goosey.
But yeah, beyond
that,
it was just we had a Shakespeare monologue, and then we read some sides. And then the callback, it was just more Shakespeare scenes and stuff.
Do you drink during the audition process?
No. That was one of the things, too, with the rehearsal process and everything. We rehearsed sober. Because the idea is to make a really good, tight Shakespeare play that would be enjoyable without a drunk person. And then just throwing that into the mix.
So that because we know the show so well, it makes it much easier to, like, try and improv off of the drunk while still getting back to, like, the tight, cohesive Shakespeare show that we put together.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how condensed is it?
It's an hour.
It's 1 hour.
Yeah.
So anybody looking for like Titania and Oberon
stuff,
and, like, they're mentioned, but they're not actually in the play. The play is
so
just
I can play Titania then.
You can play Titania
and Oberon.
I was just about to say why
or
not both, Lisa.
Maybe not Oberon.
So,
you could be the Pyramus. Yeah, we have...
I would love to be Pyramus and Thisbe.
Yeah.
Pyramus and Thisbe are fun.
Right? So I looked at the website today, and y'all are playing three different venues around town.
Yeah.
That was new to me. I did not expect that.
Yeah
we're trying to expand throughout Austin. So
our
home base kind of is Spider House Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
But this Sunday, we have our first show at the Highball, which is
really
exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
Oh, wait, that wasn't in the list.
Oh,
no?
Really?
I had... hold on. Oh, never mind. Yeah, I had a Highball. Never mind.
I was like, I thought
it
I
was
saw
in
highball.
The list.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, Highball is this Sunday. And then we've got North Door in July, and I think we've got Brass House as well.
Yeah,
so
Brass House
four venues now.
Point. Yeah.
Can we talk about the North Door for a second?
I liked when
they called it the ND. Okay, I'm done. That's all.
Well, do you want me to call them right now and let them know?
You wouldn't mind getting... Well, they're listening to the show. They'll get back to me.
Hello.
I'm going to make a wild assumption here that we're not going to bring the kiddos to this show.
You can, actually. People have, but we do like kind of have a warning.
Well, there's some potty mouthing stuff.
There's
plenty of
potty
mouthing.
PG-13,
I mean.
It is a PG-13 kind
of
show.
How young have kids shown up?
The youngest I've seen is like 12.
Well, plus, if I want to teach my kids that drinking may be something you do responsibly,
right?
And I come to this show and I see how much fun you guys are having drunk, I'm going to go,
get the point across.
Yeah.
Oh, it might be good if you need to teach them about the birds and the bees or anything.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above. And this thing called love. It's my show. Remember? How long?
I missed you, Lisa.
So Spider House is your real home, and I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah, it's the home base.
And so Spider House is the real home base. How often do you play?
We're every weekend. Every Friday, Saturday there. I think in July we're mostly Saturdays there.
Yeah, it's mainly Saturdays.
I call it July.
July.
Because I'm from
Texas.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you like to fly in July?
I do like to fly. Where does one go to get information about bunny rabbits?
BunnyRabbitShakespeare.com with a hyphen before faced.
Blank-Shakespeare.com.
Blank-FacedShakespeare.com.
Oh, blank-Shakespeare. Yeah. you know what? If you're really curious... Stick around for backstage at offstage.
Oh, we will say the name
at backstage.
Oh, goodness. Yay.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hopefully
thank
you'll
you.
Hang around for backstage so we can tell people the name of blank-faced Shakespeare.
Absolutely,
I hope you do.
Excellent. Great. Great. So we're going to take another little break and move on. So that was Becky Musser and Avon Davies of Midsummer Night's Dream, and that would be blank-faced Shakespeare at the Highball, Spider House, North Doors on Fridays and Saturdays. Always, for more information, blank-facedshakespeare.com. That was hard.
What's the use of getting sober when you're gonna get drunk?
Okay, this is from five guys
named
Mo.
I love the music in this show.
I did not realize that was from that, because I knew the what's his name's version. Not Buster Poindexter, but who's
you're right, there was another
the gravelly voiced guy. What's his name? Waits. Tom Waits?
Tom Waits.
Yeah, I think it's Tom Waits. Anyway, very quickly, let's go to local stuff, because I really want to have time for Dogfight. Locally, the only thing I really want to talk about is a wonderful press release I got a week and a half ago from Zilkerith Theater.
Shrek the Musical.
Shrek the Musical, but that's not what the press release is about.
I was like, that's
not,
gotcha. I don't believe what she's going
to say. It's amazing. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I might.
The bathrooms.
Yep.
For the first time in 57 years.
Yes.
The cast will not have to share the outhouses with the audience. The cast actually gets real plumbing and bathrooms.
Dun dun wow. dun 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 dun.
The year I did it, they had the cast had their own porta potties.
Okay, well, I have to share. I like
the
idea.
Yeah, they're backstage. The porta potties. They do that for.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, fine. Fine. You know, I was wrong. I was wrong again. Thank you.
It's the little things.
It's the little things we sneak together. Okay. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
The Young Shakespeareans, this is the last weekend of it.
Go.
And they had to reschedule the Friday show for a fundraiser for Hillary. So there's a show tonight, Thursday,
there's a fundraiser
Saturday,
at the,
Sunday.
Hillary did a fundraiser at...
Hillary won't be there, but it will be a fundraiser for Hillary on Friday out there, yeah.
All right, let's do Today in Theater History very quickly. In 1920, Ziegfeld Follies of 1920 opened. We talk about Ziegfeld Follies
Ziegfeld,
all the time.
I feel like you and I are just talking about.
Fanny Bryce was in this one. Music
Shocker.
By...
Shocker.
Also, somebody named W.C. Field.
Who's that?
I don't know. Today's the birthday of Joseph Papp.
Get out.
Founder of the Public Theater.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire. And let's see, 1976, opening tonight on Broadway after being the third longest running off Broadway show. Do you know what it is, David? I'll give you a hint. Austin Theater Project did it once. It involves a deity of sorts. Godspell.
Oh.
I wish I had a
deity
picture
of sorts?
His face. He's looking at you like,
well, I'm Jewish. To me, I love Jesus. He was just a guy. Cool guy. Just a guy.
Oh my God, you crack me up. You crack me up.
This is, on a sadder note, the anniversary of the death of Fred Astaire.
Hmm.
Who Playbill says they...
What year was that?
The claim to fame was that he was half of Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I wouldn't think that would be his biggest thing. That was 1987.
Wow, was that long ago, really?
I was four.
I can't believe it was that long
ago. Laugh. Okay, birthdays. Billy Wilder.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Gower Champion.
Oh. Neat.
Meryl Streep.
Oh.
Who people equate me to in terms of talent. And Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. I love Cyndi.
We doesn't.
Oh my God.
I got my
just like her.
I have my tickets to go see her in a few months.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, girls just want to have fun.
Yeah, she has a new country album out. You probably wouldn't like it.
Probably wouldn't. Okay.
I think it's phenomenal.
All right. Speaking of Godspell, let's see what happens when I push the button this time. It's, you know, it's a crapshoot.
It may happen. God may speak to you.
Here we go.
Day by day.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps. We're the big team, the dabbling duo. The
Shiro and Sheps.
Shiro and Sheps.
Sheps and Shiro.
So, you know, one thing I didn't say in the local section, which it bears noting. So we know that we are losing theaters here in Austin, Texas, like crazy.
Yes.
One of the heartbreakingest theaters that we're losing at the end of this month is Salvage Vanguard. They are having a work call, volunteer call on Monday and Tuesday. I guess next week, Monday and Tuesday. So if you want to go help out, I'm going to try to be there myself. I think the theater community should go out and support as best they can.
Times or?
SVT. Yes, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., but go to salvagevanguard.org for more information.
Awesome.
But I just wanted to throw that out there and make sure that people know that we need to stand with our theaters and our venues and get them new homes, open, all the things that we need to do for our venues. And speaking of venues,
yes,
the show that was scheduled to be at Ground Floor Theater at this time is now, thankfully, they found a home at Trinity Street Theater, and that's Austin Theater Project's production of Dogfight. And we have here from the production the musical director and creative director of Austin Theater Project, Mr. David Blackburn.
Hello.
You're You may as well just move in here. You're here.
I so might far. As well.
And the director, Joshua Denning.
Yo, hey.
And don't you go? Do you go by Josh or Joshua?
Josh is good.
What
my
do you prefer?
Equity name is Joshua. That's
your
why.
What?
My equity name is Joshua.
My equity name is Lisa.
Yeah.
So. All right, whatever. It is, though. And new to the show, Alicia Cornwell.
Hello.
So maybe we can call you Cromwell, and you can be what's
related
his name?
To Oliver?
Yeah.
There we go.
So I know when I first heard of Paskin Paul's dogfight, I thought Air Force.
Right, right.
But that's not what it is it?
Absolutely not.
Joshua, tell us what it is. Joshua.
So we've got Marines. It's 1963, 64. They're about to be deployed to Vietnam. It's their last night before they go overseas. And so they have this awful, awful tradition in the Marines where they try to find the ugliest date and the guy that... and they put all their money together and rent a bar and pay a singer and blah, blah, blah. And the guy that picks the ugliest date, has the ugliest date, gets the pot, gets all the money. And in our story, one of the dogs of the dogfight, one of the ladies, sort of changes the perspective and changes the hearts of one of the Marines.
Okay. So as I've not seen it, you know, I've heard much of the music, but the subject matter really bothers me.
It's dark. It's definitely
but do
dark.
We have yeah. Does it end on a happier note than what one might think, or is that a spoiler?
I would say it's a spoiler.
Okay,
yeah, it's a spoiler.
Well, haven't you seen the movie?
Have not.
Oh, have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Who's it's an awesome film.
Who's yeah. got time to go see movies, Nicole Shiro?
It's been out for a while.
I am
watched
too
it on the
busy
cable all the time, so I'm kind of like it's yeah. kind of like Aircon. It's yeah. on all the time.
I've never even heard of Aircon. What's Aircon?
David's laughing because he turns the channel on and sees it all the time.
It's all over the place.
It's always on.
It's on Netflix too. It's
never like, I've never even heard of it. So this is Pasek and Paul, one of the funnest combinations of names to say out
it
there.
Is.
Did they also write the book?
No. The book was written by.
We're going to find out.
Peter Duchin.
Peter Duchin.
Peter Duchin's another fun name
yes.
to say.
Yes. Duchin and Pasek and Paul.
Dun, dun.
Duchin and Pasek and Paul. Oh, my.
Duchin and Pasek.
Do you know who directed the original production in New
Lisa
York?
Lisa Sheps?
No, it would be your prize student, Joe Mantello.
Ah, yeah. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
He likes to do that.
Alicia, you play whom?
I play Rose Finney.
Are you the main dog? I don't even want to say that. Are you the ingenue of this role?
Yes.
It's Josh's fault. He started by calling them dogs.
Yeah, but
that's
David,
the name of the musical.
David just said she is. Well,
no, it's disrespectful, and I apologize for saying it over the air. Wrong.
Okay.
I don't want to judge. It's wrong.
Gorgeous. So
Alicia is gorgeous.
Could never be classified as a dog. So,
are you the lead female?
The yes. main chickadee. Okay.
The
yes.
main. Almost as bad, but
chickadee?
Almost
really.
Chickadee. You know, everything in the show is going to offend somebody one way or another.
There's yeah. There's something no to offend everyone. It.
Okay, good. Good. It's
we're an equal opportunity.
I was like
offender.
Equal opportunity yeah. offender.
It's actually rated but, R, the musical.
It is.
Yeah,
so we're not going to bring our kids to
indeed.
This, speaking of that.
Indeed. Okay.
So we have two R-rate. We have bunny rabbits and dog fight. It'd be funny to see a bunny rabbit in a dog
fight. I was
fight.
Just about to say, what if those two went together?
That would be quite an interesting merge.
But I believe Alicia is prepared to sing something for
yes,
us.
She
yes,
she is.
And you know, I didn't. We always talk about this, and we do it on every single show. Well, we make the sausage right in front of everybody because we didn't. Is this a belty number?
Yes.
Okay, so when you belt, yes. I need you to physically move away from the microphone.
Okay.
Can I set it up a little bit?
It needs to be set up,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, totally. So at this point in the story, Rose, which is who Alicia's playing, has learned that this party that she thought was just a fun dress-up party was actually a dogfight, and that she was the subject of a bet, an awful bet.
Okay, and what is the name of the song?
Funny.
Funny. Okay, so this is Alicia Cornwell singing Funny from Austin Theater Project's production of Dogfight.
Close the window, draw the curtain.
ugly dresses. No one likes maroon. Wipe off all that stupid lipstick. Return the earrings to their case. Makeup won't make any difference. It's still the same old face. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny you believed that it was real? Pretty funny. Disasters have an upside. You can find one if you try. You went dancing, you were dancing. You were dancing with a guy. Isn't it funny? Just cruel. Shut the light off, turn the bed down. No more crying, don't you dare. Sometime tomorrow, and forget to even care. Isn't it funny?
That was beautiful. Yeah, that was beautiful. And what woman hasn't felt that way at some point?
Touché.
Darn you. Excuse me. I've got to take a moment and cry for a while. We can come back. No, that was gorgeous.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
I love
the music in the show is just so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
So much of the other music is filled with bunny rabbits, isn't it?
Yeah, you can say bunny rabbits if you'd like. But,
it was a callback. We call that in the improv business. Yeah. It was a callback.
Let me just say it was real easy to decide what song you were going to sing.
Yeah, that happens.
Well, that's great. So this is you opened last weekend.
Yes,
you're only playing 2 weeks here.
Right
at Trinity Street.
It's a short run.
Yes. There's a shortage of venue space.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah. So, but
only
it's
get
a,
2 weeks in this one.
But Trinity Street is a lovely theater. It's nice. I like it. I'm an approver.
You like that one a lot. You do always talk about that.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't have ceiling height. That would be my only.
That's
yeah.
a little short. That's the one thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't have ceiling height, it's comfortable nice. And it's nice, and you get some exercise because you walk up two flights of stairs.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me.
Or take the elevator.
Bother me, I could do it. Or you can take
There's
the elevator.
There's an elevator. There's no scare everybody away.
There would have to be. How did your first weekend go?
It's great. Nice.
Okay, really thanks nice. For being on the show.
And all right, see you later. Bye.
Okay.
Josh/Joshua, you directed this.
I did.
Okay. How was it to direct it? Have you directed this piece before?
No, I never really directed anything like it. It's a chamber musical, so it's,
define chamber musical.
So it's on the smaller side. It's like mm-hmm. a small scale musical, and it features rock music. So there is a rock performance element to it, not only from the band, but that's also demanded of the performers. And there are several numbers that are highly choreographed. So it is a choreographic sort of not dancey, but like demanded musical staging for quite a few numbers and in this sort of rock style.
And did you do the staging as well?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay. Do a couple numbers for it.
You can't see it right now, but I'm doing a toe touch.
Good. Well, it'll be there on the video.
Yeah.
That's great. How big is the cast?
I think it's 13 altogether.
13
is that
in the
right?
cast.
Yeah, 13.
That's got some size to it.
You basically focus on three Marines and Rose. So mm-hmm. it's sort of a four cast, four people.
The other nine people, not very important.
Don't say it. Don't do it. No, they're so important.
Don't do it.
I just did it again. I did
don't
it last.
Do it.
I went back and did that. Who did I do that to 2 weeks ago?
Oh.
The important I was. I oh. went back and listened. Indeed, I did say it did not sound good.
No, they're lovely. They help us establish 1963. So.
Yep. So, and you remember 1963.
Of course.
David and I remember 1963.
Yeah. My children were doing quite well at that time.
Yeah, mine
1963
too.
Is a popular year because One Man, Two Governors is also 1963. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting.
So that's kind of funny.
Because the date of the show is actually November 21st, 1963, which is the day before Kennedy was assassinated. And it's really interesting because that next day, not only do the lives of these Marines change forever
because
they're going off to this
war.
Little place next to India that nobody's ever heard of called Vietnam, but the whole world changes the next day.
Right. Is that addressed in the piece?
Never.
Well, we briefly see 1969, and you see how the world has changed.
Uh-huh. But I mean, they don't. It's never
it's
said
not
that.
Brought up.
I wonder if I guess that's just sort of for inner monologue that they have this set this date as a particular set. If it's not,
JFK
it's not
is actually only mentioned a couple of times, and it's not. It's in the fact that he's sending these Marines over to be advisors.
Right. Right, advisors, and you're doing air quotes there at that point.
Yeah, we saw that on the video, too.
So what is fun and challenging about this show, directing this piece?
Let's see. I think maybe Alicia can speak to the sort of the acting and singing of it. I know that vocally, it's very, like, tight harmony, and it's very, very high, and the music... You can sort of hear that they have a Jason Robert Brown, Stephen Sondheim influence mixed with, like, a rock kind of influence and a Broadway.
Orchestrations are very different because you've got the piano, bass, drum, guitar, rock feel, and then there's violin and cello filling it in.
Yeah, but you know, I love rock and roll with strings.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan.
It's awesome. It's so much fun to play.
And like the original production was on a turntable and it was all about movement and moved very quickly. And I've tried to do that in our space, but it's been a little challenging. So just to keep it all
no
flows
turntable.
And it's very cinematic because it's based on a film. So it's all very, very quick pace.
Well, wonderful. So you have remaining Wednesday through Sunday?
Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday at the Trinity Street Theater. Where can folks go to get more information?
They can get all the information they need at www.austintheaterproject.org.
Dun, dun.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that y'all stick around, walk with us backstage.
Right?
We're actually right outside the stage door amongst the dumpsters. I hope you'll stick around.
I need.
Okay, great.
They all got very excited and big smiles when you said dumpsters.
Yeah, well, who doesn't love dumpsters? That was David Blackburn, Joshua Denning, and Alicia Cornwall of Austin Theater Project's production of Dogfight. 1 weekend left. Wednesday through Sunday at the Trinity Street Theater. For more information, you may visit austintheaterproject.org. And here is at least a little bit more of a non-bunny rabbit part of this musical.
Come to a party with me. gonna be a real nice time. Come on.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps. Really quick, like, we have a very exciting ticket giveaway, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Tell people about it.
One Alan Cumming this Saturday night at ACL Moody. So,
We're gonna take the very first emailer. Emailer.
You can email me or you.
Who to
you?
Lisa@offstageonair.com. Lisa@offstageonair.com. Two tickets this Saturday night only.
Alan Cumming.
Alan
ACL
Cumming.
ACL Moody. It's my birthday.
It's Nicole's birthday. Nicole and I will be
break.
There, so you
we
can hang out with
there.
Us.
We will be there. You can see us.
Okay. Well, we did it again. Again, you showed me up. I had so many technical errors today.
I don't think so.
No, it's absolutely
true.
You're
the true. Top.
You're the top.
Coliseum.
You're the Coliseum.
You're the top. You're the Louvre Museum.
Okay, so remember, folks, Offstage and On Air, Offstage On Air, stick around for Backstage. You need to listen to the podcast for that. You can get us on iTunes.
Yes.
You can get us on Stitcher.
Yes.
You can tweet us. There's another way to get it.
Oh, best way to get us, offstageonair.com. Just have Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox.
Right, go to offstageonair.com, put in your email address, we'll send it right to you. Austin Monitor News is next. I think. Yes.
I think.
So things have been changing around
they
here.
They have.
But if you're on the podcast, just stick around. We're going to step backstage right now.
All right.
All right. So we're going to go out with... I've just been feeling very sleepy. This is from Gospel at Colonus, and it's called Eternal Sleep.
Okay.
Okay. The curtain has just come down on Stage Manager of the Musical. The story of a hapless young woman continually calling cues in a cast that will not listen to her. It's the sad story of how best to commit suicide on the stage.
Is this fiction or nonfiction?
It's based on a true story. To tell you my background in stage management.
Oh.
Well, okay, so here joining us backstage is Josh Denning.
Yo.
Remember what I said about the microphone?
Oh, I'm on it.
Because we can't hear you if you don't there.
Sorry.
Alicia Cornwell.
Hello.
Hello, David Blackburn.
Hi.
Evan Davies.
Howdy.
And Ms. Becky Musser.
Hello.
Not to mention Ms. Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
So we have a really good... before we get to the trivia quiz, question, answer, whatever it is, remember, those of you listening to the podcast, it's possible that nobody emailed us for those tickets for Alan Cumming. So if you're listening to the podcast, you can still email... Lisa@offstageonair.com. It's possible they're still available.
Oh, breaking in. Those tickets are gone. So sorry, kids. They're gone.
All right. Wow. Oh, yes. Quiz. Yes. Not quiz. Trivia.
Answer.
I know the answer.
Okay. Well, right. Wait. Let's let her do it, and then we all get a chance to answer, and you'll answer last because you know the answer.
Jerry's Girls began as an off-off Broadway revue in 1981. So during this time, it would have run longer. Star broke her leg in a car accident. Which one of these actresses was both in the 1984 tour and the Broadway production? A. Cheetah Rivera. B. Dorothy Loudon. C. Carol Channing. D. Andrea McArdle. Or E. Leslie Uggams.
Josh, what do you think?
Okay, I think it might be Dorothy Loudon.
Alicia?
My best guess is Cheetah.
Cheetah. Evan?
I was going to say Cheetah.
Becky?
I was also going to say Cheetah.
I'm going Cheetah too. And David?
It is Cheetah because she was in an automobile accident in Central Park and broke her leg and has three pins and they thought she would never dance again.
There you go.
You guys are all wrong.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep. Leslie Uggams was in both versions of Jerry Girls and was an ensemble member, as was ensemble member Ellen Ahrens. The production seemed plagued because Cheetah Rivera was in the car accident.
See, that's
Carol Channing broke her arm 3 days before previews.
I remember when that happened.
And had severe laryngitis during the tour. Andrea McArdle had an emergency appendectomy and missed a month, and Dorothy Loudon broke two toes.
There you go. Plagued. Okay, so here's an interesting question that I'll throw out to everybody, and we'll just go down. How do you pronounce the word T-O-U-R?
Tour.
Tour. Alicia?
Tour.
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 And you say tour.
Tour.
Yeah, and a friend of mine says tour. I say tour. But
so
it's
we're right.
Tour.
No, I'm right.
Lisa's always right.
I find that interesting.
I said we're right. That meant everyone.
Yeah. Who's done a tour, a theater tour?
I have.
A tour, yeah.
What'd you do?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it.
Josh? What was it? Was it Joshua Equity name?
No, I played Benny the Bull in the Dora the Explorer live tour.
Oh, my.
That's
well, now, was that an Equity?
It was an Equity, yeah, and it paid really well.
Okay.
Didn't you do the Barney tour?
I did not do the Barney tour.
You didn't?
No.
Who do I know that did the Barney tour? I thought it was you.
It was not me.
Some poor teen got her head stuck in a Barney outfit yesterday.
Anybody else tour?
Yeah.
I did.
What'd you do?
I was principal piano and music director for the first Most Happy Fella tour that used the two pianos.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
And so what kind of venues did y'all play in?
We played Radio City, I'm not going to lie.
You don't have to lie.
Yeah.
We prefer you not lie.
No. It was a big deal. It was like the highest grossing tour that year. It made more money than Mamma Mia.
Awesome. Dora. Was it a TYA contract?
It was a production contract, I think.
Get out of town. Well, you would know you were in it.
I know. I think it was... this is when they
started...
There's
a big difference between production and TYA.
This is when they started doing the modified production contract, so I think it was...
Okay, because the modified production contract blows.
Well, yeah. I don't... I mean, it was good.
I mean, it blows compared to back when I was doing production contracts when it was good. Mm. You toured at the same salary range Broadway was. It was the same thing. What kind
Ours
of
was a bus
play?
And truck, so we played everything from large universities like Ball State University to little rinky-dinky things that our set wouldn't even fit in, like the assembly hall at Baldwin Agricultural College in Georgia.
Yep.
We walk in, we're just like, oh, geez.
I actually found that challenging. I toured with Joffrey's Third Company. We were the same thing. It was a really hit or miss. You can get
you
really
never knew where
places.
You were going
to
be.
And I've played school cafeterias where we had to just create a stage. And it's actually sort of challenging from the technical side, which is where I was. What'd you tour with, Nicole?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Did you play Mary Magdalene?
No, I did not.
Oh, bummer.
I played a Spectre, and I was in the cast. I love that musical. Also did The Boyfriend. Played Maisie in that.
Oh, there you go. Where'd you tour?
All over New York State, some of the Midwest. The Boyfriend tour was similar. Like, we would be in these beautiful theaters, and then one night we were in, like, this small little teeny farmhouse, like, that they made into a dinner theater. It was totally just wacky. That place, I flashed them because my rat fell off doing the Riviera and The Boyfriend, and I had a little genie costume on, and I stuck my hands up. And I looked at Bobby and I was like, I'll be back. And kind of just shimmied off the stage. Wow. Yeah.
I remember we stopped in, I think it was Fort Smith, Arkansas. And we were so excited because we actually had 3 days in one town.
Yeah, that's it. That is
but what were
amazing...
you, how, you did everything in one day, right?
Yeah. One afternoon. But,
that's really funny.
It was fun. It was a great experience. I'm glad I
always
did
wanted
it.
To be on it. One of those tours where you basically stayed in one place for 6 months. I know a lot of people that did like the first Nationals and they'd start in LA or Chicago and they would stay there for or San Francisco and stay there for 6 months before they'd move on. That's great.
Yeah, I didn't do that. If I did, I'd tell you all about it.
I'm sure you would. Evan, what's your story? You haven't been on this show before.
Well, no, I have not.
Where are you from?
I'm from here.
Get out.
This
you're an
studio?
Austinite?
Yeah, I'm from, no, not from the studio.
Oh,
actually, he's been living under the corner over there.
So you're from what high school did you go to?
I went to Lake Travis.
Lake Travis.
Yep.
Okay. Did you study theater there?
I did, yeah. I mean, it was an elective, so but
well,
like
course.
I was in it
because nobody cares about the arts,
right? Sure, yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if they had mandatory theater training?
I think that'd be good.
What? That'd be terrible. Forcing the children to do theater.
Yeah. It could be painful for some people in that class. You never
you had zero
know.
Theater?
We had no theater in my high school.
What?
Yet three of us from my class are still working professional.
Yep.
In theater.
You persevered.
In spite of it all.
You bucked the system.
Just so you know, I went to a school where theater was mandatory, Lisa.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you went to a performing arts school.
Oh, come on.
But there are high schools where theater is mandatory. Right. If you're a theater major, I guess. just saying they're out there.
Do you have a Shakespeare background, Evan?
Yeah, a little bit. I went to Texas State University, the BFA program there, and they have the opportunity to... go and study at Stratford-upon-Avon in
that
England.
Place.
Yeah, it's kind of a rinky-dink town, you know, that nobody's really ever heard of.
Nope.
But yeah, so we got to study at the RSC, and then we hopped over to London and studied at the Globe with a couple of people there.
La La La.
Yeah, so
that's pretty exciting.
It was really freaking expensive, but I think it was totally
worth
it. So
when you're not doing Shitface Shakespeare,
oh my God, we can say
the name of it.
Yes,
shit.
Stop.
Don't go too nuts. She's going to have to edit lyric out, so.
I got too excited.
We can say those things on here, but in theory, I'm supposed to mark the podcast as explicit, but I don't know how to do it.
She needs a Tipper Gore little.
Just put like an asterisk.
I don't know how to do it. No, there's something specifically with iTunes that you're supposed to do. Oh, got it. It's the explicit.
Oh, that little bracket.
The Tipper Gore thing. Yeah. She's the one that started that all. The mothers that made them.
Oh,
Tipper
that's
Gore
right.
is the one who started putting
right.
the explicit lyrics on an album.
The adult
that's,
advisory thing.
Yeah, that was
that's
her.
Not a bad decision.
That was her. That was her thing as first lady. So, that and playing bongos.
So Becky, I know you do a lot of Shakespeare as well. Do the two of you perform Shakespeare before outside of the Shitface Shakespeare?
Nope. I met Evan at Callbacks.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had a callback earlier today.
We did indeed.
You did.
What? that was wordplay trickery.
All
that
right.
was shenanigans
English
with
language.
Words.
Well, I was a little slow and I failed that exercise.
Okay, so between the two of you, what's your favorite Shakespeare play slash role?
Oh, that's hard. Oh.
You can say
I feel
I,
that's
you
hard.
Say I don't
I'm
one.
Feeling that's hard for
I'm,
you.
I'm a really big fan of Titus Andronicus.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't be?
The gore.
That's
that
probably
is
my favorite play. Yeah. But
it's my favorite Julie Taymor movie.
Oh my God,
is it?
It's so gorgeous.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
It's so gorgeous.
Not my favorite, but it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
It's so
it really is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the subject matter of that show is a little tough to handle.
It's super rough. I think that might be one reason why I like it is because it's just so extreme.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he went off the deep end a little bit on that one.
Think so?
Yeah, just a little, a little.
He was hitting the amphetamines a little bit.
Just a little heavy there.
What about this side of the room? And I'm pointing to the left side of the room for our radio audience, or the right side if you're facing the other direction. It's all. But I'm pointing over here. Any Shakespeare over here?
They're giving you looks.
I love Midsummer Night's Dream. That's my favorite.
Yay, this is your show.
You come see it?
I'm sorry?
Do you encourage the audience to be drunk?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, okay. Yeah. That's why our stages all have bars connected.
Of course.
I love Hamlet.
Hamlet?
I'm into it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Makes me, I don't know.
Omelet.
Omelet.
That's another musical.
I'm all over that. Alicia, what about you?
I go for Hamlet, too. Hamlet? I really feel that.
Have you played Ophelia? But talk right into the microphone, please.
No, I've actually never done a Shakespeare show.
No.
So.
Okay, so talk to these two. They'll get you.
It's awesome.
Becky works a lot with the Barons. Barons Men? No.
Yeah, I've worked with the Barons Men. I've also worked with Something for Nothing. There's a ton of Shakespeare around.
There's
town.
A lot of Shakespeare around.
TOS, we say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lisa,
so
if you
throw a rock, you'll hit probably five
what's
Shakespeare
What's your favorite
awesome.
Shakespeare show?
You know, I don't really have it. I don't think that's a fair question.
What? Oh, really? But you're allowed to ask it?
No, I like. I am not nearly up as up as I should be. But of the comedies, I think I like The Tempest.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, that's a good one.
I like The Tempest because it's comedy
magical and mystical.
It's magical, and it, you know, I like all the. I want to be. Ariel or Puck. Mm-hmm. I like those characters. Mm-hmm. Although in Midsummer Night's Dream, I would want to be what's his name. Cagney played him in the movie. Let me play Pyramus.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Yes.
The donkey.
Yes.
But but from the other side, the tragedy side, I love me some Othello.
Oh. Yeah.
Love me some Othello.
I love me the Cymbeline.
Can I retract mine?
Sure.
Because
I
love Titus, but I've recently in the last year or so had a huge appreciation for the histories. Because I used to, when I was reading them, they're really tough to get
through.
They are tough.
They are.
But once you see them, they're amazing because they kind of encompass everything. They have the comedy. They have the tragedy.
Henry
the
Fifth is a really good example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love like Henry IV, Part One.
Oh, you've been raving
Richard
about that
the Third. I love. Oh, sorry. I was in that one last year, and it's. Oh, I love that play. But all of the histories are really fantastic for just kind of encompassing all of the genres. Very well, like not poorly.
Yeah, it's true. But. True. So, Alicia, where are you from?
I'm from San Angelo, Texas. Way West Texas.
Yeah, I think I've said it on this show before. When I first moved here, I thought San Angelo was right next to Austin because KUT at the time, their call letters were KUT, Austin, San Angelo.
Yes.
And I went, oh, it must be really close.
Really close.
But it's
so
not.
Much.
I drove through there once on my way to Colorado.
Yeah.
You're from San Angelo, and you got out of there relatively quickly, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Did you go to school there? Because there's a school there.
No, I did not. I'm still in school. I go to Texas State in San Marcos.
Texas State. So there you go.
What the heck?
I know you didn't hear me, but
Alicia,
gave a little.
And are you in the theater program there?
Yes.
Because what's her name? I just lost her name.
Shannon.
Shannon.
Richie.
Richie
had talked to me about coming and speaking to her class.
Why
and
didn't
I haven't heard
you?
From her again.
Jimmy in Byron Cellar is from.
There you go.
Texas State.
Oh, right. Jimmy Moore. Yeah.
Jimmy. Yeah.
Texas State has a really good program. Where are you from, Josh?
I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, I love
Louisville.
That place.
I used to go there when I lived in Chicago all the time. It was an easy drive.
Really?
Why would you?
Like, yeah, why would you?
Because it was, I had friends and family in New York and Texas, and it was a nice, easy spot
between.
For everyone. It was way easy
How's
for me.
The
it was 5 hours.
There?
Theater scene's great. Actors Theater Louisville. And then there are tons
that's right,
of, like,
of course.
Yeah.
Small companies popping up.
Throw that microphone in
yeah,
front of me.
Yeah, tons
mouth.
Of small companies popping up there. A friend
yeah,
of mine
cool.
from high school runs one.
SCTC is there a lot, too.
SCTC.
I went to SCTC in 1977. It was in Atlanta. I'll tell this story. I was doing a show in Galveston called The Lone Star. It's no longer there. It was an outdoor drama. And they had SCTC auditions, which is, for those that don't know, tell people what SCTC is.
It is a massive cattle call. When I played the piano for them, I played for 1,200 people in 3 days.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
SCTC, Southeastern Theater Conference.
Oh, so it's like... And it's like Straw Hats or
yeah,
okay, yeah.
Theater Conference.
So we closed on it. You know, we had our Sunday evening, but we didn't have any matinees, and we had a Tuesday night show. So we jumped in a car and we went to New Orleans. That wasn't in Atlanta; it was in New Orleans. No, it wasn't Atlanta because after SCTC, we drove back and we stopped in New Orleans.
Stopped in New Orleans
and got plastered.
Which is not too far from
yeah.
It's not too far from what SCTC is. That's why you got them confused.
Yeah. Well, we did not drink during the and I blew that audition because that you know
I was just telling somebody about that.
You know, Lisa, we have to
yesterday.
Talk because I think
funny.
You and I have a mutual friend.
We do.
Lone Star.
Who?
The stage manager, Julie Richardson. She was there the first year.
I was there the second year.
Oh, okay.
She would have been the assistant stage manager because the stage manager, the production stage manager,
yes.
I got his name. He was there. He was there the year before, and
it
I
didn't
can
last
see
much
him.
Longer than that.
I can see him, but I can't. Nice guy.
Yeah, Julie is one of the other people from my class that made it out of town and
oh, cool.
worked in theater.
No, I love the Lone Star. The Lone Star actually saved my life. I'll one
you
last
said
story
this
for me.
Before
it saved my life. I'd moved to New York in 1977. Big fish in a small pond. I was very surprised that I wasn't getting hired for everything I auditioned for when I moved to New York. Fancy that. And I was very depressed, and I was ready to give up. And I auditioned for The Lone Star in New York. I didn't know what it was. The director's name was Dave Davis. The audition was at Pace University, actually.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Downtown. Yep. And I got the job, and I said, well, I'm going to – and my plan was to go do The Lone Star. It was a seven-month gig at the time. And then I was going to buy a little motorhome and travel around the country doing the regional theater circuit. But at the end of the thing, I said, I got to go back to New York. So I went back to New York.
Well,
saved my life. Saved my life. So we keep trying to talk to Alicia and Josh, and we just keep getting sidetracked to talk about me.
That's all right. There's worse things we could talk
As
about.
As per usual.
So where did you get your equity card?
I did a production of West Side Story at the Human Race Theater Company in Dayton, Ohio.
Human Race Theater. I love the name of that
yeah.
theater company. I don't
Wonderful
know the company.
Mission there.
Uh-huh.
And that was in conjunction with the Dayton Ballet. So it was like one of these. Like,
Are you
a
dancer?
Company. Yeah.
You sort of have a dancer
yeah.
body.
Yeah. So
Which
I
is
was,
a good thing, by the way.
Went to New York with my card.
Uh-huh.
That show.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So you did not get your card from New York. You came to New York with your card.
Busted on up in there with an
You know what? That could
yeah.
be a, that's a double-edged sword.
Oh,
though.
It totally was.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah it's
was.
A double-edged
yeah.
sword.
But,
because most of the
know,
work for young
path.
Actors is not equity.
True. Mm,
yeah.
True.
So who else has got their equity card here? Anybody? Nicole? Me? Josh? Okay. Okay. Anybody that has their equity card can speak, but those that don't can't because this is
That's
union.
That's mean.
Love it. And we need a break.
Yes,
right
it's
back.
True. No, these are 10 out of 12s, dude. We can go an hour and 20 minutes, and then I can give you a 10-minute break. I know all the rules back
That
then.
Was funny.
So who here in Austin, there's a double, you know, people think that, yeah, I want it, or no, I don't want it. What are y'all's opinions about equity?
I want it ultimately, but probably not in Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, I say it's tough to be an equity actor in Austin because there's only two or three theaters you can work at.
Yeah. There are ways around that. I will
there
say
are.
Nothing more
oh,
than
yeah.
that because
yes.
I know the leadership of equity listens to this show. But there are ways around that.
There are.
I remember I did a production of The Fantastics, and the girl that was playing Louisa was a very dear friend of mine. Paula Groom, shout out to Paula, was Equity, and she changed her name, which is what we did back then, in the program. And she got a cease and desist.
I think you've told me that one before.
But she didn't. Usually, if you get a cease and desist, you cease and desist because you don't want to lose your equity card.
Yeah. No, not if that's your way of living. I mean, if it's just something you're doing for fun.
Right now, my equity card is active, but it's only there. It takes up space in my wallet at this point.
You reactivated it. Like, I reactivated 2 years ago,
because I was trying to get back onto Broadway and doing stage magic, which I'm still up for. Mr. What's His Name and Mr. What's His Name and all the other people that could hire me in shows.
Mr. Weissman.
I knew they sing that song. Oh, I need to. Never mind. So what? We're running out of time. What else do we want to talk about? This is a little different this time. I'm not just going for anything.
Can I say our full website finally?
Oh yes.
shit-facedshakespeare.com. That is where you go for more info.
She just got excited to say it.
I just really wanted to say it. It's very cathartic to just get it out.
She did, right?
It was
I still like to call
there.
It bunny-rabbit.com. So what's next for everybody? Anybody have anything that's cool coming up? Doesn't have to be theater related.
I'm teaching camp all summer.
Oh, you sound so excited about it.
I have a challenging group of children this week. Last week's kids were awesome. This week's kids are a little challenging.
Yeah, well, hopefully they listen to this show and they'll
hear
that.
They're in camp right now, so.
If there are any hardcore musical theater fans listening, I got the rights to, like, this version of Cyrano the Musical that was done on Broadway
Get
in 1993.
Out. Yes.
Yeah. So do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So like no one's ever done it. I found the composer in Holland. He granted us the rights to do it at McCallum Fine Arts Academy. I'm directing it there.
That
so
is phenomenal.
It's going to be fun. Like no one else has ever done it.
Big cast?
We've got it down to 18.
That's still pretty good size though.
Yeah. Awesome. It's a Brusung
Paparetta. When does it play?
That's going to open in mid-October.
Well, make sure you drop me a line and I'll tell folks about it because McCallum does some great work.
They do some great work. I think one or two of my young
You're working at McCallum, right?
Indeed.
One of the two of the young Shakespeare teens, I think, are at McCallum.
Cool.
That's cool.
What
do you have?
That's pretty exciting that the students get to work on a piece
that no one else.
No one else.
Did they record
done,
an album?
So.
What?
Did they record a cast album?
No, I'm talking to him right now and seeing if we can do the English language album.
No,
it's been recorded in Dutch.
Is it available on iTunes? I must get it.
It is on iTunes.
Okay,
but it's in Dutch.
Okay, and well, stop. Just a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, here because it's playing right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Don't you hear it?
What's the name of it? Yeah. What's the big popular song from that show? What's the good one?
From
the name
Cyrano,
of it?
The musical?
Yeah. What's the name of that song?
Are you talking about Fragments?
Fragments, yeah, that's what's playing.
I hear it right now.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, can't you hear it? Something's wrong with Josh's ears.
You're going crazy, man.
I hear it.
There it is. Okay. Thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all are fun.
Adios. Bye.